I want to talk about something this afternoon. It's, I don't know if you call it a double meaning, or it works two different ways, maybe. We'll say it that way. I want to talk about forgetting. Forgetting. Even the Bible speaks of it. We have a lot of instances in the Bible where forgetting is important and been brought out, but I have some things that I want to just mention to us. Help get our minds to understand what it means to forget. Do you know that it's probably one of the hardest things for a person to do is to forget something as far as what happened to them? Or what someone said. And yet again, it's hard for us to remember something that we need to remember. And we forget that. And that's what I mean about the double meaning of forgetting. There's things about forgetting that I think are important to us that will help us spiritually along life's way, in order for us to be a little more successful. People have really struggled with this. I'd like to read the familiar scripture in Philippians 3 and 13. It says, "Brethren, I count not myself," now this is Paul speaking, "I count not myself to have apprehended, but there is this one thing that I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God will reveal this unto you." I suppose there isn't any of us here that had anything more in our past that we need to forget than what Paul did. Paul, when the Lord talked to him there on the streets on the road to Damascus, he had been persecuting the church. He had been taking people and getting them out of their homes and bringing them into prison and so forth. And he was doing that out of the zeal that he had, not understanding the whole situation and not understanding what he was doing, until the Lord revealed things to him. But Paul said that he had to forget those things which are behind and reach forth unto those things which are before. I suppose that he would not have been, it would have been impossible for him to be as successful apostle as he was in order to do the work of the Lord if he was not able to lay aside what he was and what he did before the Lord saved him, before the Lord had mercy on him. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I don't know about you, but I know of people, and I may speak of a couple, deceased. They're not alive anymore. But nevertheless, it was real to them. But how many times maybe have you been beaten up by what happened yesterday? How many times have we remembered the past, the mistakes that we might have made, or something someone might have done to us? And we can't forget that. You know, it's an awful thing to not be able to forget what you should forget, because the devil comes along and he tortures you with that. He gets into your mind and he gets into your thoughts, and he's trying to do everything that he can to rob you and I. Now, this is his point, to rob you and I of being effective for the Lord, to be able to work for the Lord. And if he can use our past and those things that we have should have forgotten, maybe we could say it this way, is under the blood. The Lord, when he saved us, he said our sins are remembered against us no more. He puts them into the sea of forgetfulness. Now, if God can do that, may the Lord help you and I that there are some things that maybe we're not proud of, maybe some things maybe we shouldn't have done, that we ought to just put in the sea of forgetfulness and just let it go and not let it bother us. We do. But the devil loves to bring up my past. He loves to bring up your past. He likes to remind you of what you was, what you did, how you was, how you acted. He likes to remind you of those things because it takes away your effectiveness of being able to draw closer to the Lord and being able to work for him. And the devil knows that. There isn't anything, first of all, that I can do to change my past. There isn't anything you can do, no matter what mistakes you made, foolish. We've all made foolish mistakes. I don't think there's anyone exempt from that. But no matter how foolish a mistake you've made, what you did in the past, you cannot go back and change that. Remember one time, and I've brought her up before, it was my mother-in-law, my stepmother, and she was at Monarch. She's been gone now for quite a few years. But she was at Monarch one year, and the Lord was dealing with her, and this is, I want you to understand how the enemy works with this. The enemy, the Lord was dealing with her, and she felt like she should go to the altar. And she didn't go. The time came and the time passed. It was no longer Monarch. Now you can't go back and set that all up again and redo it and then go to the altar. You can't go back and do that. So you've got to deal with it now. She struggled with that for a long, long time. She was in a nursing home out in Shawnee, Oklahoma. Brother Rick and I stopped by to visit with her, and I'm telling you, this was eating and eating and eating her. She couldn't get her peace. She couldn't get her rest. She didn't have any joy. The whole thing was the devil kept reminding her, I should have went to the altar, and I didn't do it. The opportunity's passed. Should have, would have, could have. You can't do it now. It's all over. But you can take it to the Lord in prayer. You can ask him to forgive you. Put it under the blood. Put it behind you. Forgetting the things that are behind and pressing forward to the things that are before. Lord wants us to be victorious in always pressing forward. Looking forward to the good things that the Lord has for us. And we prayed with her. We talked with her. I don't know. It was quite a long time. And I told her even one time, I said, Essie, I said, the next time that the devil tortures you with this, why don't you just remind him of the past, of the future, of what his future is? When you're tortured with the past, tell him about his future. Tell him that he's going to be cast into the lake that burneth with fire forever and ever and ever. See how he likes that. And I didn't know what else to say. We said everything that came to our mind, the Lord blessing and helping. We prayed with her. We talked to her. And it seemed like that when we finished, it seemed like she got some help. But it wasn't very long, and my sister said she was right back down in what we call the dumps again. Always reminding her, the devil takes the past and wants to torture us for the future. He does not. He will do whatever he can to keep us from enjoying our salvation. I know he will. I know that Paul, he says forgetting those things that are behind. I say he forgot it, but he remembered it. I would say he still remembered what he did. But he had to put that down. He had to give that to the Lord. And trust it to the Lord, and he had to go, and if he was going to be effective, and if you and I are going to be effective, we got to give it to the Lord, And we said, Lord, we can't go back and redo any of that. But I can start afresh. I can start a new day. I can start a new page. And I can start working for you and living for God and being faithful to all that I know and understand. You see, today, whatever happened yesterday, today offers a fresh page that is blank. It's blank. We don't have anything. We didn't have anything on it when we started this day. The important thing is, what are we writing on the page today? What am I putting in my life today? Something to look back on and regret? Something to cherish? Maybe that I put ahead of God, put more importance on it than God? Do you remember Lot's wife? Do you know when the Lord said she turned around and she became a pillar of salt? Something was drawing her back there. Something was important to her back there. She needed to forget back there. And she needed to go forth to the new land that she was being taken to, but she didn't do it. And when she turned back and she looked, she disobeyed the Lord. And she suffered the consequences from it. So let's remember Lot's wife. Paul said, forgetting the things that are behind and looking forward to the things that are before. Reaching forth to those that are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Don't continue, if I can maybe help us just a little bit, in something that will be looked upon later as a mistake or something regrettable. Don't continue in that. Put that aside and put that behind you. I will remind you of a man. This is in the Bible. It's over in 2 Samuel. And it's David's son, Absalom. Absalom was a man. He was King David's son. He had a right to the throne and all those kind of things. But he had a brother, and his name was Amnon. You can read it over there in 2 Samuel. And Amnon took his half-sister, and he took her unto him and laid with her and those kind of things. And Absalom found out about it. And he became very angry. The past. It had already been done. Absalom was a young man that had bitterness and let bitterness get in his heart. Lord, help us not to let bitterness get in our hearts. It turned into anger, and then it turned him into a man that wanted revenge, wanted to get even with his brother. Folk, the Bible tells us it was 2 years. 2 years. He waited 2 full years after the incident happened. The devil doesn't care at all how long that he waits to do something. But he was determined after 2 full years to get even with his brother. And he had a little party one day and he asked Dad to let his brother come. Dad didn't want to do it at first. David didn't want to do it, but he finally let him go. And when he got there, and they got to do their drinking and their revelry and those kind of things, he told his men to fall upon him. And he took his brother's life. Revenge. Folks, it's time for us. The devil wants to get revenge on every one of us. He would love to destroy us, believe me. He would love to destroy you. It's only the grace of God and his goodness and mercy that the devil's not able to do that. We learn that from Job, don't we? He had to get a permit from Job in order to be able to do the things that he did to Job. It's only through the grace of God that the devil is not able to destroy us. But Absalom let it fester up in his mind. He couldn't forget the things that were behind. He couldn't forget what his brother did to his half-sister. And he had his brother murdered at a party that he had. And the whole thing was set up to murder his brother. Only reason why he had the party. Our choices of yesterday's cause us to be where we are today. So there are things that maybe of the yesterdays that we need to forget in order to be a better product of who we are today. We have a God-given power to choose what we will accept in our lives. We have a God-given power. We do not have to let the enemy railroad us or take authority over us. We can rebuke him in the name of Jesus. And we can destroy all that he has against you and I, and we can be successful in living for the Lord. The devil doesn't like that. Folks, there are some things that you have to forgive and you have to forget. I remember another time, and I've talked about this one before. There was a sister up in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And we went to visit her many times. She had a house that should have been condemned long before we were up there. She had to make a path to get to the house in order to get, when you went in the front door, in order to get back to the living room so we could find a place to sit down. She always wanted us to let her know when we were coming so she could make a room for us. And she lived alone. She was a spinster. Never been married. But she, what do you call them, people that kept everything? Bore a hoarder. The worst hoarder I ever saw. She had newspapers. She had animals in her house, in her kitchen. She had, I'm talking about wild animals. I'm talking about ducks. I'm talking about raccoons. I'm talking about all kinds of stuff in her house. Lord only knows what kind of bugs and things that stuff that house was infested with, but we went in there by the grace of God and we visited with her many, I don't know, 4 or 5 times while she was still living and tried to encourage her. There were times when we went, she didn't feel like the Lord or anybody loved her, and even the Lord loved her. And I assured her that the Lord loves you. He loves every one of us. And I assured her and read her scriptures and so forth. Well, one day the authorities came along and they put her out. They took her out of the house. They condemned it, and I think they destroyed it. And they put her in a nursing home. And I remember one day when we went up there, I went up there with my brother-in-law and sister, and as soon as I walked into the room, she says, "Brother Abbott, I want to ask you a question. Do I have to forgive those people that took me out of my house?" She couldn't forget that. And because she couldn't forget it, she struggled with forgiveness. And I looked at her and I said, "Sister Betty." She'd been a monarch. She sat in many of our services. She heard much of our teachings and so forth. And she embraced those teachings and so forth. And she asked me a question. "Brother Larry, I want to know, do I have to forgive those people for taking away my house?" And I said, "Sister Betty, you know the answer to that just as well as I do." But she wanted to hear it from me. She didn't ask Dallas, she didn't ask John, she didn't ask my wife. She wanted me to tell her, do I have to forgive them for taking me out of my house? I said, "Sister Betty, I guess it all depends on how bad you want to go to heaven. It all depends on how bad you want to go to heaven." Folks, I'm not in this race to stumble. I'm not in this race to fall. I'm not in this race to make excuses for myself. I'm not in this race for that. But I'm in this race to get to the end. And may the Lord help me, and may the Lord help you to be faithful till you get to the end. You're going to face obstacles in life. You're going to face mistreatment in life. You're going to face sorrow in life. You're going to learn things that you sometimes things are best left not unsaid. Did you know that? Sometimes it's better off not to say things. It's better off not to tell people things. It's better off just to keep quiet. Because once you know, you know. And then it's hard to forget. Paul said you got to forget those things that are behind. I remember sitting in a message, under a message, down on Oranger, and Brother what's his name? Kimball. I love that man dearly. Brother Kimball was up preaching. And he preached one of those messages. He had me laughing and he had me crying. Saying the same message several times. But I remember him saying, and folks, take this to heart. Please take this to heart. It's important how we deal with our fellow man. It really is. Especially with those that are close to us. Take this to heart. He prayed and he prayed and he prayed for years that the Lord would save Sister Diane, his wife. Her name is Diane. And she finally, one day, the Lord saved her and she got saved. And so something was eating on her mind. So she came to Brother Kimball and she said, "Honey, there's something that I need to tell you." And he said, "Hold it right there." He said, is it some wrongdoing or something that you need, that you're wanting to confess?" She said, "Yes." He said, "Did the Lord forgive you?" "Yes." "Well, then I forgive you. Go and sin no more." That's what he said in the message. "Go and sin no more." Folks, he didn't want to hear it. Once he heard it, it was something that was going to weigh on him, something he wasn't going to be able to forget. It was ammunition that the enemy was going to use against him. And he was wise enough to know, better off left unsaid, better off that I don't know. If the Lord forgave you, that's all I care about. Then I forgive you. Go and sin no more. Folks, that's the way it ought to be done. There are some things you don't need to know. Some things that are better left unsaid. Lord, help us to know what our choices are. Help us to know what we should do. Help us to do right. Help us to be faithful to them things. Lord, help us when things come along and disappointments do come. People trouble us. People bring sorrow to us. People deal with us in a lot of different ways. Folks, then you got to get the victory over it. But I want to tell you that God has the victory. Forgetting those things that are behind and pressing forward to the things that are before. Always pressing forward. But sometimes it's not so easy to do. But when you get my age, you forget things that you wanted to remember. And that goes kind of along with it too. But I'm really talking about forgetting those things. Those things that will hinder your walk with the Lord. Those things that will take your peace. Do I really have to forgive them? If you want to go to heaven, you got to forgive them. And she knew that. She knew that as well as I did. But the devil was using it against her, just like he was using it against my mother-in-law. Just like he used it against Absalom. Just like he used it against Lot's wife. Looking back, because there was something back there that she held dear into her heart. And the Lord said, "Flee and go away from." But she looked back. And it cost her. Folks, I want to tell you, it'll cost you too. It'll cost you too if you look back at those things and you continue to embrace those and you let them get in your mind and eat at you and eat at you and eat at you. I know what it's like. I know what it's like. You don't have to tell me that. I know what it's like. I'm going to tell this again. When my wife and I first got married, I was, 21 years old, young, didn't know as much as I thought I did. And a year later, she lost our first baby. Full term. 2 weeks before it was born. Dead. And we knew it for 2 weeks. Doctor told her. And I can still remember, now I'm talking about forgetting, but I can still remember. And I could still see her laying in that hospital bed, writhing in pain, labor pains, biting on her hands, drawing blood. And she was my new wife, been only known her a year, and loved her. And it hurt me to see her hurt. And I remember taking a break and going to a phone and calling my sister and asked her to come to the hospital to be with me. She came to be with me. She brought me comfort and brought me help and support. I appreciated that. Then I would go back in the room and I would see my wife hurting, and the nurse would come in and say, "You want me to give her more painkiller? The baby's already gone." And I said, "Sure." It was killing me to see that. I would like to forget that. I really would. It wasn't a good time in our life. And I've often wondered why the Lord permitted that to happen. Because it was hard for us both to make adjustments after that happened. And there's things after that happened that I'd like to forget. Things I wished hadn't happened. Things because of maybe immaturity, misunderstandings, things of getting to know one another and so forth, those kind of things having to deal with growing up and maturing and developing like we talked about this morning. I wasn't there yet, but it happened early. It happened first. And yet, the Lord has helped me to get a victory over that. I still remember. I can't forget it all. There's things maybe that we can't forget, but folks, I want to tell you, you better get it out of your mind. Those things that you need to forget that is meant to destroy you spiritually. Those things that are meant to destroy you spiritually, meant to take away your joy and your peace and your hope. The Lord blessed us and had mercy on us. We have had 4 children. She lost another one in between 2 of them. She's lost 2, but the other one wasn't a long to full-term child like the first one was. The Lord has a purpose in everything that He does. And I want us to consider the purpose that He has for you and I. He ordains things for your life. He ordains things. He has a purpose for it. He wants to make you strong. He wants to develop you in His way that He might have something for you to do. He might have some way that He wants to use you. But God ordains things for your life. And we need to search for the purpose that He has in it. I don't always understand. We say, "Well, I don't understand that. Lord, I don't understand." We sang the song just a little bit ago. God's way is best. Do you believe it? Do you accept it? Is it part of who you are that God's way is best? Back in August when I had my little slight stroke, seemed like, it didn't change anything about me but my mouth. And it's changed the shape of my mouth and affects the way that I talk. I don't know why God did that. I don't know what His purpose was, but He had a purpose. Maybe he just wanted to see, you keep touting that you're trusting God. You keep telling everybody about divine healing and faith and all those kind of things. I want to see if you got it. I want to see if you're going to trust me. I want to see if you're going to be faithful. Folks, if I never draw another breath, I'll trust Him as long as I live. As long as I live. Whatever His purpose is, His way is best, I will not question. But I know that as far as things that come against me and that affect me in my life, if they take away my joy and they take away my peace, I'm going to forget those things that are behind. And I'm going to press forward to the things that are before. You know what's before us, don't you? Heaven's before us. Glory is before us. Joy is before us. No more suffering. No more pain. No more having to worry about forgetting. But sometimes things happen to us and people hurt us. And I've been around a lot of hurting people. I suppose you have too. We gotta forget, folks. We got to forget. We got to let it go. We got to let it go. We'll look at a scripture in Ecclesiastes, the 8th chapter. Been thinking about Ecclesiastes a lot. Solomon had a lot to say in here. But he said in the 8th chapter, he says, to every purpose there's time and a judgment. Therefore the misery of man is great upon him, for he knoweth not that which shall be. For who can tell him when it shall be? Tomorrow, if we live and we see it, tomorrow will be a new day. Nobody can tell me what tomorrow's going to hold. Oh, we can get up and we just can assume that it'll be just like every other weekday that we go through. But really, I don't know what tomorrow will hold. I don't know what phone calls that I'll get. I got one this morning before I was getting ready to come to service, and it blessed my soul to get that phone call. It was very good news. But we don't know when we're going to get bad news. Life is just that way. To everything, there is a purpose. The Lord has a purpose for you and I. I think about His sovereignty. I think about His grace. I think about how much He cares for us. No matter what happens, we sing the song, He will care for me. I thank the Lord, He will care for me. He will love me and He will keep me. And I can ask the Lord, I have a right. Folks, we have a right to ask the Lord for anything we want. We should ask according to His will. But we still have the right. Lord, will you help me forget that? That's not going to bring anything good in my life. It's not going to bring any peace into my mind. It's not going to help me in any positive way. Lord, will you help me to forget that? Lord, will you help me to forgive? Will you help me to let go and trust you? Because you have a purpose for me. And because your way is best. He knoweth not what shall be. For who can tell him what it shall be? There is no man that hath power over spirit to retain the spirit. Neither hath he power in the day of death. There is no discharge in that war. Neither shall their wickedness deliver those that are given to us. But we're all going to face that time. He talks about it in another place, and I won't read it. But he talks about the grave. You know, there's no harboring anything in the grave. Once we get in the grave, we've let it go. Because nothing else matters now. We're meeting God. We've met God. And we're being judged by our Lord and by our Savior. There's no, as Absalom there was, there's no anger. There's no vengeance in the grave. No, there's none of that in the grave. And it's all coming to every one of us. May the Lord help us to be faithful. I'm going to turn over to 2 Timothy. I don't know what you think of this, but I've seen enough people struggle with it to know that it's real. And to know that it brings problems and suppresses them and depresses them. But the Lord has a purpose. In 2 Timothy 1:7, some of my favorite verses here, 1:7, he says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. What has God given us this morning, this afternoon? What has God given us? He hasn't given us the spirit of fear. If I'm having trouble forgetting things that I ought to forget, for one thing, who am I to hold something on someone else when I am so human and have made so many mistakes myself in my own life? Who am I? Who are you to expect others to be more perfect than you are? We've all made them, folks. We've all done it. But God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. Paul called him, said he was the Lord's prisoner. He was willing to humble himself down to that place. He had persecuted the church. He had grieved the Lord. He had done a lot of bad things. The Lord forgave him when he saved him. Folks, the Lord didn't hold that against him anymore. He just began to use Apostle Paul. Be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us, called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Folks, the Lord has given us a hope of peace, a hope of joy, a hope of everlasting life if we'll keep ourselves in the presence of the Lord and keep ourselves faithful. I want to read this one more verse here. For the which cause I also, 12th verse. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Here's why I suffer them. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I've prayed with people in many different places. I've met them at an altar of prayer at Monarch. I remember one sister was there struggling with something, couldn't forget, couldn't let go. I said that, and I was with a sister. There was probably about five or six of us ministers gathered around. And I quoted this scripture. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Now you commit this. This thing that you can't forget, this thing the devil is destroying your peace and you're struggling and struggling and struggling with it, you give it to the Lord. See, first thing you do is you give it to him. And don't go back and pick it up. You give it to him. He said, I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him. Now I says, the next time that the devil comes along and he wants to deal with you on this subject, he wants to bring up that thing that you're trying to forget, that thing that's torturing your mind, you tell him you're going to have to go see God because I've committed it unto him. He don't want to deal with God. He only wants to deal with you. Folks, the old saying is you fight fire with fire. And that's how you fight the enemy of your soul. You commit it to God against that day. Folks, you give it to him. And then when the enemy comes along, and he will, and he does, he comes along and he wants to torture you with it. He wants to take peace from your mind. You say, hold it. I've done this. And I know it works. I said, I don't have this thing anymore. I don't have this thing. I have truly committed it to the Lord. Now it's in his hands. Now it's his. If you want to wrestle with it, you wrestle with God. Because it's not mine anymore, but it's his. And I've given it to him. He's able to keep you. He's able to keep whatever you commit to him against that day. That's the day of judgment. He'll take care of it until you get to the day of judgment, folks. He'll take care of that against that day. The Lord has designed a plan of salvation that you and I can enjoy the peace, the joy, the happiness, the blessings, all that God has created and given us God wants us to enjoy these things. He wants us to be blessed in our souls, but there are some things get in your mind, don't they? I know they do. We're all human. Well, I can't forget it. Have you heard a person say, "Well, I can forgive, but I'm not going to forget"? Be careful. Be careful. The Lord said, if I didn't forgive, He wasn't going to forgive, did He? You know how you know you've forgiven? How do you know you've forgiven? Say, sister over here comes, she's offended me. And I say, Lord, I need a lot of help here. I need to forget this, what this sister done. And I need victory over this thing. And I want you to give me victory, and I'm going to give it to you. You know how I know I've forgiven? It's when I can be in her presence and I don't feel a thing. No animosity, no vengeance, no bitterness. I don't feel any of those bad feelings anymore. I know that I've forgiven. I know I've let it go. May the Lord help you and I as we deal with others. Maybe someone is really done some bad things to you. And I say, well, I can't forget. Okay, you may not forget. You may remember, but you can forgive and you better do it. Because it's part of the work of the gospel is to forgive. And we all have to be able to forgive. Because if we don't forgive, we're not forgiven. The Lord said, neither will I forgive them. So may the Lord help us today. Those things, those simple things maybe that we think are simple, sometimes they're hard, sometimes they're difficult. And they're not so simple. Those kind of things, that's what we got the Lord for. We all have a right to lean on the Lord. I don't have to take this for myself. I can give it to the Lord. And the Lord said He'd bring me through. And the Lord said He'd bring you through. The Lord wants to bless each and every one of us. I thank you for your time and attention. May the Lord bless each and every one of you.